ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मत् स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः So in Mundakopanishad, we are supposed to see the second mantra and the first section of the third Mundaka. Samane vrikshe purusho nimagnaha. Samane vrikshe purusho nimagnaha. Anishaya shochati muhyamanaha. Anishaya shochati muhyamanaha Jushtam yada pashyatyanyamisham Jushtam yada pashyatyanyamisham Asya mahimanamiti vita shokaha Samane vrikshe purusho nimagnaha Anishaya shochati muhyamanaha Jushtam yada pashyatyanyamisham Asya mahimanamiti vita shokaha Samane vrikshe purusho nimagnaha First line Samane vrikshe purusho nimagnaha You will break it there Anishaya shochati muhyamanaha Anishaya shochati muhyamanaha Anishaya shochati muhyamanaha Anishaya shochati muhyamanaha Jushtam yada pashyatyanyamisham Jushtam yada pashyatyanyamisham Asya mahimanamiti vita shokaha It is a beautiful teaching. Here Upanishad presents, first imagine there's a tree and there are two birds sitting. One bird is busy eating the fruits of the tree. And one bird without eating, without doing anything, simply sitting and watching Just watching this other bird eating. One bird is busy, totally engaged, occupied in eating. Lost in eating. Can you hear me? Okay. Other bird, just simply sitting, watching the other bird eating. So, actually this tree itself is likened to a samsara vrikshaha, which is a beginningless, endless cycle of transmigratory life is likened to a tree here. And in this tree, there are two birds and the one bird which is busy, totally lost in eating the fruits of the tree is actually jivatma. And the other bird which is simply sitting and witnessing the bird eating is the Paramatma. It's symbolic. In fact, that when you say Paramatma, the other bird which is sitting and watching the other bird is actually Paramatma, which is one of the many components which constitute the individual body. So the whole tree is like a body also. Samsara is only the form of body for us. The whole body, it symbolizes the whole body, physical body, which is a bhoga ayatanam. So you can say the physical body happens to be an abode of enjoyment where one has to, a jiva has to be there to enjoy its punya papa karmas. Or the tree itself is a body, and when suppose ahankara, there is I sense, there's a physical body, there's a subtle body, there has physiological functions, there are powers of organs of actions, powers of organs of knowledge, there is a mind, there's an intellect. So also there is I sense, aham vrittihi. What is aham vrittihi? Knowledge of self-existence. I am, is the I sense. So I sense is one of the components which constitute the individual human being. So not the body, not the mind, not the sense organs, not the intellect, not the I sense, and also the Atma. Only one thing does not constitute the individual. All of them, all these many aspects constitute the individual. Their I sense also is there. Without I sense, there's no physical body, a live physical body. But I sense alone does not make an individual human being. But where an individual human being is only with an I sense. That a human being is a very special, very unique. The I sense is a very unique thing, which is an aspect of buddhi, intellect. So, but this I sense being one of the aspects which constitute the individual human body, unfortunately, it is identified with the entire physical body. How can part of the body become the whole body? Or a whole, all the aspects. The root of the tree, even though inseparable, non-separate from the whole tree, root is not the trunk, root is not the branches of the tree. Root is distinct from all of them. Similarly, this I sense, even as part of the whole individual body mind complex, it is distinct from other aspects which constitute the body. This I sense. And when this I sense is identified with the body mind sense complex, naturally the body is involved in activities. Therefore, naturally, I am the knower, I am the doer, that notion is very natural. Purely because of the identity with the physical body, I am the body, that notion is there. Therefore, I am the doer, that notion also is there. And when the I sense is identified with the intellect, the mind, then not only I am the intellect, and also I am the knower. I am the knower. So I am the doer, I am the knower. And also, identified with the mind also is what now? I am the mind, I am the enjoyer, I am the knower, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This is because of the identity with the intellect. So I am the knower, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These are all notions, simply notions. And these notions are actually erroneous notions. These notions are purely because of the identity. The body which is involved in activities is mistaken to be the I, therefore there's the doer notion. And not only that body, because identity with the intellect makes you think what I am the knower, thereby I am the doer. Because knowing, always any action presupposes the desire. Desire presupposes the knowledge. Therefore, the identity with the intellect makes one thing, I am the knower. And therefore, then the desire rises because of the knowledge of an object. Then identity with the mind, I am the desirer. Then there's activity. Action follows the desire. Then because of the identity, again, I am the doer. I am the knower, I am the desirer, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer of fruits of actions. I am the aham karta, aham bhokta. These notions are purely because of the identity. Then as an enjoyer, what happens? Enjoy punya palam, papa palam also. Punya palam in the form of pleasure, papa palam in the form of pain. So desirable, undesirable results of actions in the form of fruits one enjoys. That's what the jivatma bird is doing. So eating the fruits is actually means eating the results of actions, pain and pleasure. The pain is undesirable result of actions are symbolized with the bitter fruits and non-relishable bitter fruits. And the sweet fruits, tasty fruits symbolize the punya phala, pleasure. And this bird is busy, totally engrossed in experiencing the paths of opposites obtaining in the form of fruits here of the tree. Attention is totally lost in enjoying these fruits. And there's also suffering. So as long as Ajnanam is there, it is busy. And there is also another bird which is sitting there. What is that bird without eating? That bird symbolizes the Atma. What is Atma? The only all-pervasive reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. The consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. So, there the consciousness is there without doing anything. Why? Actionlessness is the nature. Uninvolved. Consciousness is not the seer, not the hearer, not the doer, not the enjoyer, but without whose presence knowing, desiring, doing, enjoying, anything is not possible. The one because of whose presence everything is possible is Atma. And this I sense. So identified with the body mind complex alone becomes the enjoyer, doer, and one who suffers also, the sufferer also. So as long as the bird is identified with this body tree and also other aspects, which other components which constitute this body individual being, there is involvement in eating, the necessity of involving itself in enjoying the fruits of actions. And it is an endless one. It will never stop. Whereas the same bird, when the I sense is distinguished from the body, I sense is only one of the many, many subtle components and the gross component called physical body, one of the many components which constitute the individual human being is this I sense. But I sense is not the body. Just as the root is not the tree or the trunk, the root is part of the tree, but root is not the trunk or the branches or the leaves or the flowers of the tree. Similarly here, the I sense, which is part of the individual human being, one of the components of the individual human being, is not the body, not the mind, not the sense organs, not any of the other aspects which constitute the body. That's why Shastra makes it very important to distinguish the I sense. Unfortunately, there's no distance between the I sense and the rest of the components which constitute the human body, human individual human being. Because of the distancelessness, because the closest proximity, the eye sense is identified with the, all the components of the, all the components which constitute the individual human being. Thereby, the limitations, the problems, the other issues associated with the body, mind, sense complex become superimposed upon this eye sense. Thereby, it gives rise to the problem of having the wrong notion about oneself in terms of I am the knower, I am the desirer, I am the doer, I am the performer, I am the enjoyer. All these notions, all, Shastram says, all these are relatively, they may sound okay, but absolutely they're all not right, real, they're not, all these notions are erroneous notions. So as long as these notions are there, as long as identity is there, so long will there be these notions. As long as these notions are there, one has to go through this life of pairs of opposites repeatedly. One has to exhaust and parabdha karma, going through the pairs of opposites. When the parabdha ends, again it has to start with a new body. Again a new body, because karmas never come. There is actions do not stop. Every time you are born, life is continuous. Therefore, life has to be lived. Actions have to be performed. The throughout the life, one performs everything with the notion that I am the doer. Ever there is a notion, I am the enjoyer. Aham karta, aham bhokta, this kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam are superimposition of the limit, the actual actions, the attributes as pertaining to the intellect and body and other aspects. They are superimposed. And because of their wrong notions, thereby the jiva becomes the sufferer of going, one who goes through all this experience of pain also, not just pleasure alone. So for which one has to, physically you cannot distance the eye sense. Physical distancing is impossible. At the same time, cognitively we can distinguish the eye sense. Once you cognitively distinguish the eye sense, as the first person singular pronoun, which is used to refer to the entire human being, is actually eye sense is distinct from this body. Because this body, this mind, this intellect, this everything, anything and everything other than eye sense is what? Is an object to be indicated by the pronoun other than I, which is this. How can we mistake the this for the I? How can I be mistaken to be the this? Therefore, when you distinguish the eye sense, then you have to see what this eye sense is. If this eye sense is distinct from all these other components which constitute the individual human body, what is this eye sense? If you search for the what this essence is, and the essence is also high, subtlest to form, highest to form of manifestation of knowledge. Highest to form of manifestation of knowledge. Oh, if the essence is the manifestation, the highest form of manifestation of the knowledge, if it is a manifestation of knowledge, then what is the source of manifestation? What is the source of manifestation? If you search for, you will end up, you will land upon pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which is actually of the nature of actionlessness, is free from actions, is free from enjoyership, is free from doership. essentially, I am consciousness. Relatively, I am, I is actually a thought, self-cognition. Essentially, originally, I am of the nature of consciousness, pure knowledge. And if you see this essence from the standpoint of its truth, the consciousness, you can see is the only consciousness, is the truth of the rest of the thoughts, the entire mind, the entire body, mind's complex, the truth of the entire objective universe also. So that this jiva, who is none other than Paramatma, jivatma is none other than Paramatma, is essentially of the nature of actionlessness. See, other bird, samane vrikshe purushaha nimagnaha. This purushaha means what? The same tree of the body, physical body, which is the part of the samsara life. And in this physical body, nimagnaha, purushaha nimagnaha. The jivatma, first purusha is jivatma, nimagnaha is totally engrossed. Nimagnaha means totally engrossed in eating the fruits of the tree, which means the jivatma is totally engrossed in going through the paths of opposites, desirable, undesirable situations, pain, pleasure, success, failure, loss, gain, honor, dishonor, victory, defeat. It is so busy, so engrossed, nimagnaha, totally lost in, engrossed in enjoyment of pairs of opposites. And then anishaya, anishaya. See, Ishaya means the Lord. Anishaya means helplessly, choicelessly. Once you have identity with the body, mind is complex, and you should think you are the doer and enjoyer. The problem is the thinking, the notion. Anishaya, helplessly, shochati, it grieves. So grief is, it really shochati. Why? Muhyamanaha, deluded. Why delusion? Delusion is lack of discriminative understanding. So delusion is lack of discriminative understanding. What I am, what I am not. There's no discriminative understanding. What I am, what this is. There's no discriminative understanding of I and this. There's no discriminative understanding of what I am, what I am not. There's no discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real. There's no understanding of what is satyam and what is mithya. This lack of discriminative understanding is delusion. Muhyaman, mohaha is noun, delusion. Muhyamanaha means what? Being deluded. Shanach pratyay shabdaha. The verb is muhyate. Muhyate is the verb. And muhyamanaha is the continuous. Jivatma muhyamanaha asti is being deluded. Now being deluded without lack, without the discriminative understanding, this anishaya helplessly, choicelessly, by is called Swayamkrita Aparadha. Swayamkrita Aparadha means the mistake committed by one's own self. Nobody else is responsible for the mistake you have committed. Swayamkrita Aparadha. Your own mistake. So, being deluded, this Jivatma is subject to grief. Suffering, shochati is a verb, grieves. Noun is shokaha. Shokaha, noun. Shochati, verb. Mohaha, noun. Muhyate, verb. Muhyamanaha is the being deluded. So here, anishaya, helplessly, without discriminative understanding, being deluded, this jivatma grieves. So why there is delusion? Why there is no discriminative understanding of what I am not? Because of this delusion, lack of discriminative understanding, it results in what? Erroneous self-perception, mistakes his body for the self, then thereby superimposes the limitations of the body upon the self, then it entertains a wrong notion about the self, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and because of this doership and enjoyership, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, superimposed upon the self, and it becomes what now? It has enjoyership also. I am the enjoyer. Just because of this wrong notion that I am the enjoyer, one has to go through this problem of life of pairs of opposites. One has to go through all pairs of opposites, pains and pleasures, desirable and undesirable situations, just because one has the notion, I am the experiencer, I am the enjoyer. If this notion, the erroneous notion, if this notion is corrected, there is neither punyam nor papam. There is neither sukham nor dukham. There is no honor, dishonor. Which means, Shastram says, Atma is ever free from paths of opposites. The experience of paths of opposites is not possible without the presence of the Atma. But Atma is ever free from all paths of opposites. There's no punyam, there's no papam. Atma is ever free from nitya muktaha. Nitya muktaha means what? Ever free from bondage of karma. There's no kartrutvam. Atma does not do anything. Atma does not enjoy anything. Atma does not desire anything. There's no desire for Atma. There's no knowledge. There's no action for Atma. Therefore, there's no punya papam also for Atma. There's no pain and pleasure also is not there for Atma. So this I actually, since also, Shastram says, you are also free from punya papams. You're also free from sukha dukkha anubhava. You're also free from all pairs of opposites. You are ever free. Nitya mukta swarupaha. Nitya mukta swabhavaha you are. It means you have no panchitam, no agami, no paradha, you are free. But still, where you are bound. So I am bound by this bondage of karma, samsara, is only a notion. Because of the notion, I am the enjoyer. Therefore, if one has to become free from bondage of karma, has to free one free from doership and enjoyership, one must definitely have the right perception of oneself. The delusion can be sorted out. The lack of discriminative understanding can be sorted out. The discriminative understanding is possible only if you distinguish I sense from the anatma, body, mind, sense complex. After distinguishing I am the knower and everything else, body, mind, and complex is the known. Like anything external to the body is also object of knowledge. Not only anything external to the body, also this body minus complex is an object of knowledge. Which means once you distinguish I sense as the knower from the known, then you can say who this knower is. If you search for, you have to see this I sense. The truth of the I sense is Atma, which is pure consciousness. Therefore, I sense disidentified, dissociated from the Anatma, identified with the Atma, the consciousness, is what now? I am the Atma, Aham Brahma Asmi. That knowledge, the standpoint of consciousness as one's own Swarupam, one can see oneself being absolutely free from bondage of karma, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, punya papas. This is the only way of freeing oneself from bondage of karma, only way of freeing oneself from being an enjoyer of punya papas. Otherwise, one cannot help being an enjoyer, experiencer of these pairs of opposites. The wrong notion caused problems, and the problem is the notional problem. That is why Anishaya helplessly shochati, helplessly grieves. Then what happens? In the same tree, Samane Vrikshe, Purushaha, Nimagnaha, Anishaya Shochati. The bird is not part of the tree. It is distinct from the tree, even though it is sitting inseparably from the tree. Like that, this aham, I sense, one of the components is distinct from the rest of the aspects which constitute the body. And then, even this distinguishes itself, when we distinguish this I sense and see what is this I sense, where does it come from? Where does it exist? What happens to it? When you really look for it, you have to again resolve this I sense only in consciousness. It's called, technically it's called pravilapanam. When you say, oh, wave is water, you are resolving. You take the water as the substance and you see the wave itself as the non-substantial form and name. And it means wave is water, means the form and name wave becomes resolved in water. Similarly, essence is resolvable in formless, abstract consciousness. Then it says, so jushtam yada pashyati. Yada pashyati. Yada pashyati means what? When jivatma sees its swarupam, pashyati means sees. Anyam isham. Who is anyaha ishaha? The Lord who is absolutely free from doership, enjoyership, who is the nature of actionlessness. That other bird symbolizes Paramatma, is pure consciousness, the absolute self, the only self of all the beings. Paramatma, the Lord, is what now is of the nature of actionlessness. Yada pashyati anyam isham. When this I sense, now the truth of the I sense being consciousness is understood. Asya mahimanam, this conscious, the all pervasive abstract reality, consciousness being one's own self, one's own real nature, actual substance of the I sense, it sees, it understands its glory. Mahimanam pashyati. Then, identifying itself. When it sees, identity is with the Paramatma, then it becomes what? It becomes free from the delusion, goes. It sees its own self being Paramatma, non-different from Paramatma. One sees I sense being non-different from Paramatma, one's own self being non-different from Paramatma. See, oneself as Paramatma, one with Paramatma, then no doership, no enjoyership, because delusion goes, ignorance gone, ignorance caused delusion goes, delusion caused wrong notions go, all the wrong notions resolve, wrong notion caused bondage also goes, no pain, no pleasure anymore. Therefore, Vita Shokaha Bhavati. Vita Shokaha means the one from whom grief has gone for good. Only when you understand this essence, one of the components and the truth of the essence is actually all-pervasive Atma. Therefore, identity must be with that Atma only. One sees oneself as the Atma, which is not distant but distinct from the entire physical body, mind, is complex. Then one becomes what? Vita Shokaha Bhavati. From the standpoint of Atma, one can see oneself being already free from all problems. Seeing oneself, one's own real self being already free from doership, enjoyership, punya, papa, pain and pleasure, bondage, karma is what? Is actually becoming free from the hold of grief. Having the grief resolved for good. Becoming free from grief. Becoming free from sorrow. Becoming free from sorrow is what? Being happiness. Being the very happiness, which means, which is freedom from sorrow, is freedom, freedom, moksha. So this verse actually, by presenting these two birds as one bird Paramatma, one bird Jivatma, sitting in the same tree of body, one is alone involved in eating the fruits. Other one is just sitting there without eating anything. That symbolizes the actionlessness of Paramatma, which is the real nature of the Jiva also. But Jiva, even though is essentially of the nature of actionlessness, but because of the wrong identity, because of its Sarupa Jnanam, because of its wrong identity, and there's wrong notions it has that I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, etc. The jiva also becomes a notion caused samsara. It has notion caused samsara. Then when it really, it discovers the fact, it distinguishes itself from everything, rest of the aspects of the body, and sees its swarupam being Atma, it again discovers its own glory of being free from everything. It becomes free from the grief. Okay, yada pasyati anyam isham. When this jiva discovers its own swarupam, being Paramatma, it's a nature of actionlessness. Asya mahimanam, seeing its own glory as the Paramatma, then it becomes free from grief. This is the meaning of this mantra. I think I have done a very great job. Samane vrikshe purusho nimagnaha anishaya shochati muhyamanaha yushtam yada pasyatyanyam anyamisham asya mahimanamiti vita shokaha. Okay, we'll go to the next verse.
Yada pashyav pashyate rukma varnam. Yada pashyav pashyate rukma varnam. கர்த்தாரமேஷம் புருஷம் பிரம்மயோனிம் கர்த்தாரமேஷம் புருஷம் பிரம்மயோனிம் யதா பஷ்யப் பஷ்யதே ருக்மவர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமேஷம் புருஷோ பிரம்மயோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி யதா பஷ்யப் பஷ்யதே ருக்மவர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமேஷம் புருஷம் பிரம்மயோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி.
We saw in the previous verse, what is jnanam? Seeing one's own swarupam, see, distinguishing the essence from the anatma body mentions complex and discovering its existence being the atma, the consciousness. So discovering one's own swarupam being abstract, formless. Consciousness is jnanam, knowledge. Because initially what you see, one sees oneself as the gross physical body. Also one identifies oneself as subtle matter in the form of pranas and mind, etc. Thereafterwards, one distinguishes oneself from essence from the body, mind and complex. Then one actually shifts one's essence from anatma to atma. You shift your identity from the grossest temporarily the body which comes and goes, subject to change, all changes and modifications, to you shift your identity from the body to the formless consciousness, abstract consciousness. Then you resolve. So seeing one's own real nature being the formless, abstract, all-pervasive reality consciousness is jnanam. And the jnana phalam is what? Shoka rahityam. This is vita shokaha bhavati. What the benefit of the knowledge? Being free from the sorrow. Being free from the sorrow. Is the freedom from sorrow is freedom, is happiness, is the result of that jnanam, this jnana phalam. This swarupa jnanam and the swarupa jnana phalam we saw in the previous verse. So here, if you take in this verse, pashyaha means actually pashyaha is not a word, it only opens it is used. Pashyaha means, instead of saying drik, Pashyaha actually means drik. Drik means seer. Pashyaha, if you write somewhere else, Pashyaha, it is wrong. Only in conventional language, Pashyaha you can't write. You must write only drik. Drik means seer. Pashyaha is another word used in Upanishad for drik. Okay, Pashyaha means drik. So drik, what does the drik do, seer do? The seer sees. Yada, the seer pashyate sees. So the seer means what? The seer is the knower. Who is the knower here? The individual human being with an essence. Okay, the knower. The knower is the seer. Seer is the imperfect word pashyaha. The knower. Pashyate. Sees. Rukmavarnam kartaram isham purusham brahmayonim. Then when this seer means who? The person the individual human being who has right perspective because of the knowledge of one's own self being Atma, one who has right perspective, one whose vision is clear, knowledge of his Swarupam being Atma, such a person, only who can be such a person? Only a student who is exposed to Vedantic teaching, who can distinguish his self from the non-self, who can see one's own self being all-pervasive reality, consciousness, Atma, such a person is the snower seer here, the person of discriminative understanding, the person of right perspective of what the self is. Such a person, Pashyate sees. He sees what? Rukmavarnam, Kartaram, Isham, Purusham, Brahmayonim. All these words are the same. Purusham, he sees the Purusha. Who is this Purusha? The Lord. And also what? Brahmayonihi. And Ishaha, the Lord. Karta, absolute doer. Bhagavan is not the doer, but the doer of everything is Bhagavan. Rukmavarnaha. Rukmavarnaha means like a red color, which means the Rukmam means gold also. That's why Rukmini means one who is of golden complexion is Rukmini. So Rukmavarnaha means one who is of the nature of effulgence, one who is of the nature of knowledge is said to be Rukmavarnaha. But not that really, you should not take it as literally as gold. The golden complexion implies what? One who is of the nature of knowledge, which is self-evident, self-effulgent, self-revealing awareness, consciousness. Which means one who is of the nature of self-effulgence. Rukmavarnaha means. Therefore, this person, when he clearly sees Rukmavarnaha, one who sees the Atma, Karta, absolutely, Atma is not the doer of anything. Atma of the nature of actionlessness, but there's no action possible without the presence, the blessing of Atma. Therefore, the doer of all the actions is Atma. Kartaram. In fact, even the universe cannot exist independently. For the universe to become manifest, to be enjoyed, to be interactable, to be perceptible, then it needs the blessing of consciousness, Bhagavan in him of consciousness. Therefore, we say the creator of the universe, the protector of the universe, sustainer of the universe, even the resolver of the universe is Bhagavan, we say. Therefore, Bhagavan is not the Karta, but there's no Karta other than Bhagavan. About the Karta of everything, the doer of all actions, the performer of all actions, the ruler of everything. Who is this? Ishaha, the Lord. The one who rules is the Lord. Is there a Lord other than the reality? Sadvastu? No. The only Lord. And Purushaha, it is this reality which is the only Purusha. Purusha means what? The absolute person who fills everything. One who obtains as the essential nature of every individual being, one who alone is there pervading in and through everything. Sarvam Purayati iti Purushaha, Pure Ushati iti Purushaha. The two meanings you have to understand. One who fills everything is also Purushaha. Purayati sarvam iti Purushaha. Pure ushati iti Purushaha. one who indwells every living, every human being as the very innermost essential nature, Atma, is also Purushaha. Therefore, the Purushaha, Brahma Yonihi, Brahma Yonihi means, this Purusha is none other than absolute reality Brahma, which is the only cause of everything. Yoni should be taken as the cause. Brahman, which alone is the, this Purusha, is another than Atma, another than Brahma, the absolute reality, which is the only intelligent cause, material cause, and the, also the instrumental cause, Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam, Sahakari Karanam, instrumental cause of the universe, the whole, ever Brahma Yonihi, Brahma Eva Yonihi, Brahma Yonihi. There's no other cause, there's no cause of this universe other than Brahma. Absolutely. Anything, any other cause is what? Relative cause. Absolute, the only absolute cause of the whole is Brahma. Which cause? Intelligent cause is Brahma. Material cause is Brahma. Instrumental cause is also Brahma. Therefore, this Atma is what? An absolute, again, when you say Brahma, it is limitless, infinite, the reality which is the absolute cause of everything is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness, therefore implied the term Brahma. It's absolute reality here. One meaning. Another meaning you can also say, the reality which is the cause of even the creator of the creator. Creator of the creator. You can also say that. Another meaning, Brahma Yonihi. When this wise person, this person of discriminate, different perspective, right perspective of the self and the world, because of the wisdom, vision of the self has got through the study of the Upanishad, that person now who sees, how does he see? He sees the Lord. He sees the Lord, the only doer of everything, the one who is of the nature of effulgence, and who alone fills everything, who alone is there as the innermost essence of every being, and who is the only absolute, intelligent, material, instrumental cause of everything. Yada pashyate. When this person sees such a Lord, such Bhagavan as this, for him, who is the Bhagavan? The one who has seen, one who has recognized his own Swarupam being Atma, that person sees also the Bhagavan. There's no other way of seeing the Bhagavan other than seeing yourself. Unless and until you see your own Swarupam being Atma, you can never see Bhagavan. So it's pure, you know, one who understands one's own Swarupam being Atma, one can understand the Swarupa of the whole Jagat being Atma, Brahma. Thereby one can see the Lord of everything being this Brahma. There's no Lord other than this truth. And this person who is blessed with the vision of one's own Swarupam being Atma, who has a different perspective, now how does he see? He sees Rukma Varnam Kartaram Isham Purusham Brahma Yonim. He sees this Lord, the cause of everything, the doer of everything, one who is essentially of the nature of knowledge. He sees, when this person really has this clear vision, tada, then, this jnana palam is said here, tada, then, vidwan, who's vidwan? This wise person, are you listening? This wise person, vidwan, punya pape vidhuya. That is when this person becomes free from all punya papams simultaneously. All sanchita karmas go. All the agami karmas also go. Even the prarabdha karma is begun only by the body. He is objective towards the prarabdha karma also. Punya pape vidhuya. When he sees one's own self being identical with the Paramatma, non-different from Paramatma, non-separate from Paramatma, which Paramatma? Paramatma, Brahmayonihi, Purushaha, Karta, Ishaha, Rukmavarnaha. He sees Vidwan, Tada. Only then the wise person, Punya Pape Vidhuya, having got rid of, Vidhuya means having got rid of all the Punya Papams. How does he get off all the Punya Papams? By resolving the doership, by resolving the enjoyership, by correcting the error in the notion of about oneself. Before there was a notion, wrong notion, I am the body, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Now in the clear vision, he has no notion, he has a vision. The wrong notion goes when right vision is. The right vision of one's own self being Atma, Vidwan, he gets rid of all the Punya Papam simultaneously. Thereby Niranjanaha, as a pure, blemish-free, defect-free, Punya Papam free, Paramam Samyam Upaiti, he becomes one with Bhagavan. Samyam Upaiti, he becomes one with means he does not become one. He resolves his identity with Bhagavan. Paramam Samyam Upaiti. Paramam Samya means he sees himself being one with Bhagavan, non-separate from Bhagavan. Samyam means he becomes inseparably, he discovers one's own self being inseparably one with Bhagavan. Which is what? Absolute freedom. Paramam Samyam Upaiti. Some people can translate wrongly also. This person goes very close to Bhagavan. No. We go close to Bhagavan also. With somebody else sitting much closer to Bhagavan, and it will invoke jealousy in you. Nobody should be closer to Bhagavan than you, which means you are never away from Bhagavan. You are never distanceable from Bhagavan. You're never distant from Bhagavan. It's purely because of your erroneous perception, because of the wrong notions you entertain, notion caused distance. When it is removed, you are Brahma. Okay? Taking one's ownership of what one's own real self is by resolving the wrong notions, by resolving the notion caused distance. Really, there's no distance. So the real distancelessness, which is already there, becomes clear when the notion caused distance is removed. And the notion is removed. Is it clear? This is also Jnana Palam. It's a Jnani. Okay. The word Pashyaha should be taken as what? The person of right perspective, born of wisdom, clear vision of one's own self being Atma. If there was once, we can go to the class. Yada pashyav pashyate rukmavarnam kartaramisham purusham brahmayonim
ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாமியமுபைத்தி.
You can never become Niranjanaha. You are already Niranjanaha. As long as wrong notions are there, Ajnanam is there, you have what? Sanjanaha. Alukkudayavan Sanjanaha. Alukkatravan Niranjanaha. You know, Anjanam means, you know, this collyrium is called Anjanam. It's a dark, the black stuff which people, girls used to put on their eyelashes and all. It's called collyrium, Anjanam. So Sanjanaha means what? That black thing, which stands for any dirt. Niranjana means what now? Dirt free, impurity free. Sanjanaha, impure. Niranjanaha, impurity free. This person becomes blemish free, sinless. Doesn't become. He already discovers the self being already free from impurities and blemishes. Niranjanaha. This is the Jnana Phalam. We will continue. I think next class on, I will try to do a longer class also. Next week onwards. Now, I'm supposed to come back soon. When does Corona allow me? I don't know. So we'll see what Bhagavan has for all of us, for the whole world. Okay? And then I request all of you to chant this Vaidyanathashtakam and also Mrityunjaya Mantra, Namatraya Japa, whatever is convenient for you, do it for yourself. Of course, you keep yourself with all, you know, you are very cautious and precautious. With all cautions also, better to have Bhagavan's grace. So intensely, fervently pray for yourself, pray for others, pray for the world also. The whole world is now. Because once, now people can understand how the whole life is interdependent. This is a good lesson for people to realize. Everybody is dependent on everybody else. The whole world is interdependent. Life is interdependence. One person affected one number and then the whole, it will affect the whole world. People are worried about the food being not available in the shops. Everything is over. How will they import? They don't grow here. At least place like India, we can manage to eat something what we get. The farmers can eat. But people are going to buy export means we have to do. All this department shows are becoming empty. People are grabbing the food and filling their storerooms. The problem, isn't it? Anyway, what I'm saying, please, we'll also chant. I have sent you all Vaidyanathashtakam. Have you all got it? And if you cannot do the big chanting, at least you can do Mrityunjaya Mantra. At least Namatraya Japa. You cannot do better mantra japa than Namatraya. Om Achyutaya Namaha. Om Anantaya Namaha. Om Govindaya Namaha. Don't take this mantra for granted. It's a very, very powerful mantra. Know why? Achyutaha means the one who is the very truth obtaining in the form of existence of everything. That word stands for Satyam. And Anantaya Namaha, the word Anantam stands for limitlessness. The one who alone is in the form of everything, the one who is, there's nothing which can limit Bhagavan. Or Anantaha, one who is of the nature of limitlessness. And Govindaha, Go means knowledge. One who is of the nature of knowledge. Therefore, one who has to be attained only in terms of knowledge. Bhagavan is of the nature of knowing, essentially. Therefore, Bhagavan who is of the nature of knowing has to be understood only in terms of nature of knowing. So Bhagavan, that's why Govindaha. Beautiful.
Satyam is implied by the word Achyuta. Anantam is implied by the word Anantam. Jnanam is implied by the word Govindaha. Swarupa Lakshma of Brahman. Very beautiful. Very powerful. If you can't do anything else, at least keep on chanting these three. Om Achyutaya Namaha. Om Anantaya Namaha. Om Govindaya Namaha. Keep on chanting and pray for others also. May the world be relieved of the suffering. What we can do is nothing. That's why it is called Adi Daivika Tapa. Unpredictable it was, and now predictable, still uncontrollable it is. Even though the whole medical world stands stunned now. They have this limitation of even Vaidya Jnanam. Isn't it? Now we have people have to work hard. By the time they find out the medicine for this, many would have gone. We'll see. Whose Parabdha is strong, they will survive. People who have weak Parabdha, this is the excuse, Nimittam, for Vada come to an end. Anyway, because Vedanta students won't be worried about all these things. Right time to really live your Vedanta Jnanam. Bhagavan has given you opportunity to live the Vedanta Jnanam. How you can win unafflictedly, without any disturbance, we can do prayerfully, do what we can do. Okay? So, let us go to the Sanskrit class now. I'm not going to stop it. 5 minutes break for tea.